Good morning, everybody. If you're in this room, thank you for being here. Welcome. We just went through praise and worship, and we're glad that you're here. And those of us joining us by Facebook Live, we're glad that you're here as well. We welcome all of you. And we're in a series entitled Living Out Your God-Given Destiny. Living Out Your God-Given Destiny. This is part seven of the series. We've got a week or two, maybe 2 weeks left, definitely one. But we're going to be wrapping this up. The title of today's message is Using Your Faith. Using your faith. The definition for destiny that we've been using is a course or path in life that includes both the God-given destination you are seeking at life's end, that's making heaven, and your own faith-filled journey toward that destination. Now, we spend a lot of time, particularly in parts 1, 2, and a little bit in 3, talking about predestination. And there's one passage of Scripture in Ephesians I've been reading every week, but I want to go back and hit a couple of those again just to refresh us as to what God has to say. Go ahead and go to that next scripture if you would, babe. All right. Psalms 139, verse 16 says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Now, as we talked about in those early messages, there's one verse I'm not going to read today, but it says you're predestined. And don't get predestination and free will and choice confused. God has a destiny. He has a path for every person. He laid it out in his book before, well, we'll get to that scripture in a minute, before the foundation of the world. Before he ever said light be and light was, he knew you would exist, and he had a plan for your life. But just because he has a plan for your life doesn't mean you will live it out. We have an obligation and a responsibility to listen to the Holy Spirit, seek that guidance, find that path, and walk it. Is anybody ever going to walk it perfect? There's just one that did that. His name was Jesus, and you ain't him. So we are not going to walk that path perfectly. You know, last week I walked over all the chairs, and I thought Phil was going to have a problem back there. He's like, "Don't you fall." But we got through it okay. And the point I made is this young lady helped me. She walked the path straight. And I walked the path all crooked, but I was trying to get to my destiny. I was searching God, listening to God, and wanting what God had for me, knowing that he had a destiny for me and that I had missed it. And so at some point back there, we converged. Because the Bible is very specific. It says that he will restore the years that the locust or that life has taken away. So if I walk this path, it's going to be a slow, steady walk. I'm never going to walk it straight, though. I don't mean to make a negative confession over you, but none of us are perfect. We're not going to walk that path perfectly straight. But if I've never been born again, and I'm over here, and I am so far away from God, and I finally get born again, that doesn't stop God from having a destiny for me. And at some point in time, here, when I'm X years old, when we're at this point, and I started on that destiny path, I will come to that place and be exactly where God wanted me to be at that time, at that moment. And so you say, well, you know, I've never really talked about destiny. I've really had anybody teach me about destiny. And I know I'm so far away. Don't worry about it. Just start listening and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he will take you and he will guide you to where you need to be. And at some point you will merge. And don't be concerned about, I'm not there. Be concerned about, I'm getting there. All right? Let's go to that next scripture. All right, Ephesians 1:3. "All praise to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we are united in Christ Jesus." Next verse. Even before he made the world. So even before he made the world, that would have been before he said light be, right? And light was. All right. So even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. So he knew, he looked through time and he knew that Adam would fail. And he found the human race so valuable and so precious, the concept of this man that would be made in his image and his likeness, the literal Hebrew, an exact duplication of the God kind. He thought we were so precious, and this thing about man, that, you know, he turns to the son and says, "Son, if we do this, they're going to fail, but we can bring them back. But it's going to take you sacrificing yourself. So he decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. How? By bringing us to himself. How? Through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. That's craziness right there. That's just beyond my comprehension. Okay, in the verse we've been reading every week, Ephesians 2:10, Amplified, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. We're recreated in Christ Jesus after we're born again. We're born anew, that we may do those good works which he predestined, planned beforehand, for us, taking paths which he pre-prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Have you ever heard anyone say, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen? You know, Lee was teaching Sunday school this morning. It was his Sunday to teach, and he was teaching Sunday school this morning. And he was talking about when people pray and they say, well, if it be your will. Well, you know, this book right here, a little bit of Texan slipped out there. Sorry for those of you that aren't from here. This book is his will. We don't have to look for the will of God. We just got to open his book and read it, and it'll tell us his will. His word is his will. His will is his word. They are the exact same thing. So, you know, people say all this stuff. Well, you never know what God's going to do. Well, I might not know exactly how he's going to do it, but I know what his will is. How do you know his will? Because I opened the book. And it tells me what his will is concerning certain things. But people say, you know, these religious things, you know, well, if it's God's will, or if God wants it to happen, it'll just happen. And that's a way of saying, God, you're responsible for everything that goes on in my life. I got nothing to do with it. And by now, you know that we do not teach like that. In fact, it is our responsibility to discern and act on our destiny. God has set it forth for us, but we must seek it and follow it. Page one, number one of your insert, if you're following along. Page one, number one of your insert. So today I want to discuss with you a key ingredient in living out your destiny. And I've waited to get to this because that key ingredient is so basic for us, and it's called faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. So from that verse, We can deduce that without faith, it would be impossible then to live out our destiny. Everything you have learned over these past 6 weeks matters little if you don't bring it to life with your faith. The knowledge I have given you basically is the car, and your faith is going to be the gasoline. And over the past 6 weeks, you may have put together a pretty nice car, but you're not going to go anywhere in pursuit of your destiny without God's fuel, which is faith. All right. So, you know, a lot of times we'll say, what is faith? Well, faith is, and we'll get to that scripture in a minute, but faith is a lot of things. Faith is a lifestyle. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. So it's a lifestyle. Faith is an attitude. Matthew 14:28-29 says, and Peter answered him. Now, Jesus has been walking on the water. And he's out there, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter came out of the boat, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. See, it's an attitude. It's an attitude. Jesus, if you're real, command me to just tell me. It's an attitude. Like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, it's an attitude about who you are in Christ. And faith is a confession. Mark 11:23 says, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, this mountain, this problem, this circumstance, this situation of life, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Okay, so what's the heart? The spirit and the soul. What's the soul? Mind, will, and emotions. So if you are connected, okay, let's go back basic. We are spirits, we have souls, minds, will, and emotions, and we live in bodies. Okay. So if our spirit man, we get born again, it's reconnected to God. So now I can communicate with God, I can hear the voice of God. And so if I speak to a
I'd like it better if it was the batteries. All right. Well, we'll try handheld. We'll see how I do. All right. How far back do I need to go?
A ways?
What have y'all been doing back there? What do you mean a ways? All right. Well, I'm gonna hit them again just for those. Faith is a lifestyle. I'm not going to read the scriptures. That's Romans 1:17. Faith is an attitude. Matthew 14:28 and 29. Faith is a confession. Mark 11:23. Faith is creative power. That's where I was. Hebrews 11:1-3 says, now faith is. Now faith is what? It is the substance of things I'm hoping for. It is the evidence of things I cannot see. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God used his faith. Was the earth seen before God said, called it into creation? No. The world was not seen. So God called it through faith. When is faith? Faith is now. God didn't say, whoo, it's dark out there. I wonder if we can ever do anything about that. No, God saw it was dark and said what? Light be and light was. All right. So now faith is. It is the substance of the things I'm hoping for. It is the evidence of what I can't see. Because if I have it by faith, I don't need to see it to know that it's real. Because I know in time it will show up. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. All right, so faith is also an act of worship. Psalms 86:9-10. All the nations you have made will come to worship before you. O Lord, they will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Faith is a seed that grows. Matthew 17:20. For surely I say unto you, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you'd say to this mountain, this problem, this circumstance, we're back to speaking to it. But it's a seed that grows. Move from here to there and it'll move and nothing will be impossible to you. Faith is a gift of the Spirit. Romans 12:3. For I say unto you, the grace given unto you. Let me try that again. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man has been given through the Spirit of God, when you're born again, the measure of faith. So we all start out with the same measure. I said a minute ago, faith is a seed. We all have the same measure. We've been given the measure of faith. Not a measure, because then yours could be different than mine, and that's not fair, and God is fair. So we are given the measure of faith. It is what you do with it that counts. How are you going to water and fertilize that faith? How are you going to grow that baby? How are you going to cause that thing to grow and flourish? We've all been given through the Spirit the measure of faith. 1 Corinthians 12:7-9. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. Where does faith come from? The Spirit. Number 2, our relationship on page 1 of your insert, our relationship with God begins with faith. And it is faith that carries us along with him through every circumstance. If we do not exercise faith, God will allow us to live without him, die without him, and exist in hell throughout eternity without him. God will never force his destiny plan on us. We must open our life to him. We must receive his will and his plan through faith. Think of all the things that happen because of faith. First of all, we're saved by faith, right? Romans 10:9-10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. We're back to this confession thing, that faith is a confession. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's why, you know, I'm sure God makes account for people that can't speak. But the Bible is very clear. You want to be born again, it's got to be coming out of your mouth. Yes. You have to confess. Confess means what? Speak something out of your mouth. You have to confess, because what does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All right. So if Jesus is the abundance of my heart, what's going to happen? Naturally, I am going to speak my confession. I am going to speak that Jesus Christ is Lord. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not with the thoughts, not with your meditation, with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We live by faith. Romans 1:17. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just what? Shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11 says the same thing. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For what? The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:36 says what? Now the just shall live by faith. We pray the prayer of faith. James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. What kind of prayer? The prayer of faith. We fight the fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life, that which you also called and have confessed, the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We keep the faith. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We speak the word of faith, Romans 10:8. But what does it say? Question mark. The word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You can't preach anything else but the word of faith. The word of faith is all there is. What does it say? It says the word is near you. It is in your mouth and it's in your heart, your spirit and your soul. What is? The word of faith that we preach. We please God with faith. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, we know it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a what? Oh no, God can't reward people. You can't say that. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't say it. He did. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, you got to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. Well, I not really, you know, I don't need, it's wrong for me to expect God to do anything. I didn't say that. He said that. He said that you got to believe that he is what? A
rewarder.
If you got a religious problem with that, go talk to God, but you'll find he's even less religious than I am. We receive a good testimony by faith. Hebrews 11:2. For by it, which is faith, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Randy, do me a favor. Put that one on 72 air and that one on 70 air. We take up the shield of faith. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which we will be able to quench how many? No, that can't say that. You know, you never know what God's going to do. Yeah, you do. You know right here is going to do. Above all, we take the what? Shield of faith, which means we have a part to play, right? We take the shield of faith with which, who's able? You will be able to do what with that? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one or the enemy or Satan. We take the kingdom by faith. Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I am so tired of the church being so wimpy. Oh my goodness gracious. I mean, it's like church is a bunch of wet noodles. Get some backbone, people. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of all the things we've been hoping for. And when you add faith and hope, those things will begin to manifest in your life. Of course, you realize that Jesus here, he's talking about godly things that are within the realm of your destiny. You can't have faith for something that is contrary to the plan of God for your life. I mean, you can believe it. You can believe for something that's contrary, but he's not going to answer that prayer. We talked about that last week. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says no for the right reason. Sometimes we can pray and pray and pray. I'm standing in faith. You ain't standing in nothing because he's already said no to that thing. Many have tried to use their faith to start a church or be an evangelist or to launch a business or to initiate a relationship, let's say, but it wasn't within their destiny. It was a personal desire. Now, okay, here's the thing. We know the verse that says what? God will give us what? The desires of our heart. But and the heart is what? The spirit and the soul. So he said, he doesn't say he'll give you the desires of the body. He says he will give you the desires of the heart, which is the spirit and the soul, mind, will, and emotions. So if your spirit man is in charge like he's supposed to be, and he's talking to your soul, mind, will, and emotions, he'll give you the desire of that. But who is leading that desire? The Holy Spirit is. Why? Because he gives you the desire of your heart, which is your spirit and your soul. Not the desire of your flesh. Now, a lot of times we pray for the stuff of the flesh. He's not going to answer that one. That's a personal thing. And sometimes that's just not going to happen. Number three on your insert, faith is so basic. It is so basic to the things of God. It's amazing how many Christians have never been taught the principles of faith. The New Testament is full of commands and instructions on faith. Jesus commands us in Mark 11:22 to have faith in God. Now, the literal Greek there says have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. He then tells us how to use that faith to move mountains in our life, which we already read that. With faith, we can overcome the obstacles on our destiny course. We can't just sit back and have faith that our destiny is going to happen. We must actively seek out our destiny. But how do we do that? By acting on our faith. Number four, many people believe that faith is just believing in something. But James says that even Satan believes. James also said in James 2:20 that faith without works is what? In other words, action must correspond to your faith. Now switch over to page two. We're going to continue. Faith is not something we have as much as it is something we do. I'm going to say that again. And I'll say it better this time. Faith is not something we have as much as it is something we do. It is an action verb that causes us to speak and to do things that produce supernatural results. Just saying we believe in God will not get us saved and into heaven. Satan believes in God. Everyone in hell, I guarantee you, they believe in God. To have faith in God means that we believe what Romans 10:9-10 says, which is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Period. Say period. 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 No question mark there. It's a period. Faith in God means that you will speak to the mountain in your life, command it to move, not just call your friends and talk about the mountain. The world talks about their problems, but faith people talk to their problems. Amen. Jesus spoke to trees and storms and mountains and sicknesses and demons to show us how to use our faith. He showed us by example that if we say with our mouth and believe with our heart that miraculous God-glorifying things will happen, they will. Why? Because God honors faith. Faith is not just believing that God is. It is obeying God, speaking the word of God, and believing that God will change our circumstances. Number two on your insert. In the course of your destiny, Satan will always try to challenge your faith. He will come against you through people who are evil or just people who are unaware of God's truth. He will use circumstances to deceive you. He'll use circumstances and people to distract you. He will try to stop you from being all that God has destined you to be. It's up to you. Say, it's up to me. It's up to you to keep the faith, walk by faith and not by sight, to fight the good fight of faith, to speak to the storm, and to walk on the water. If you sit back and you wait for God to make everything easy, you will accomplish nothing in life. If you think pursuing your destiny will be a journey of ease, you are mistaken. It will not. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't misunderstand me. It'll be fun, it'll be fulfilling, it'll be rewarding, but it'll be a battle to the end. It will be a good battle, though, because God has guaranteed us victory if we follow his plan. Look, even Jesus said, in this life you're going to have tribulation, but you have good cheer, I've overcome the world. Sometimes we get off on this thing about, well, you know, life's so hard, I must have missed God someplace. And I used to really have a problem with that. I mean, a problem in that that's the way my mind went. Until I heard my pastor preach a message one time where he was talking about this exact subject. And he was using the point where Jesus put him in the boat. He was going up to pray, and he told him, go to the other side. All right? Not the time he was in the boat, but he was out of the boat. Now, they're in the middle of the lake. A storm comes up. Now, this is right when Peter's going to walk on the water and all that, right? But a storm comes up, and they're all afraid, and they all think they're going to die. Now, are they outside the will of God?
No.
But there's problems. You know, if you're inside the will of God, you'll never have a problem. Anybody ever tells you that? Just spit in their eye. Because you can be right where you are supposed to be. I mean, they were. They were right where Jesus sent them. And all hell was breaking loose. But here's the part I want you to see about that story. In the midst of all hell breaking loose, and them thinking they're going to drown and die, they're in the flesh. Now, you got to remember, these guys are not born again yet. Jesus hadn't died. They're not born again yet. Okay? So they can't listen to the Spirit of God like we could today or whatever, but they think they're going to die. Until what? Jesus shows up and calms the storm. So when we end up in a space in life where all hell's breaking loose, what do we need to do? Get quiet, keep our joy, keep our peace, listen for the Spirit of God, listen for the voice of God, and then speak to the storm. You have the same Holy Spirit in you that Jesus had in him. And you know, Jesus did not do one miracle until that same Holy Spirit was in him after John baptized him. When he received the Holy Spirit, that's when he started doing miracles. Well, once you get born again, he said, I'm going to send the Comforter. So you have that same Holy Spirit within you. So do what he did. Man, when you're out there in the middle of the and your flesh is freaking out and your flesh wants to go crazy with worry and stress, take a breath, get some peace, and talk to the storm. Amen?
Amen.
You will meet with resistance. The enemy will come at you in different ways, and you must decide to fight no matter what he throws at you. Christians must have a fighting spirit and a willingness to take God's destiny by force. This attitude is so different from what is traditionally portrayed as Christian. We can't be spineless worms and expect to fulfill our destiny in God. Like Paul, we must fight the fight of faith, take the kingdom by force, and have a courageous spirit. Have what kind of spirit?
Courageous.
Only then will we overcome our enemies. If you're on your course with your destiny, but you don't understand and use the principles of faith, that will hinder your destiny. We see this in the story of Israel. It was God's plan. We know this. For them to possess the promised land, right? But because of unbelief, many of them died in the wilderness. They lacked the faith to persevere to the end. And later, after Joshua led the people, and this is craziness, because we already went through this story earlier in this series about how the people, you know, they were in the desert and so forth, and God was leading by a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and all of that stuff. Now, Moses is dead. Joshua's going to take him into the promised land. They go over there. They do Jericho. They take the land. They do all that. But even after he's led them in the promised land, they never possess all that God said they could, again, because they became slack and they lost their faith. Joshua 18, 1 through 3 says, now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there. And the land was subdued before them. And what? The land was what?
Subdued.
Okay, if you say the land was subdued before them, what does that mean? The land had already been conquered. Now you don't even need faith for it. Because what does it say? The land was what? Subdued before them. It was already done. Now listen to how people are. And the land was subdued before them. But there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. How many tribes total are there? 12 tribes, right? 7 is less than half. So less than half of the children of Israel had received their inheritance. Verse 3. And then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Number 3. a great number of, I believe, Christians will die in the wilderness of life, or will die never having possessed all that God has made available for them. They're going to heaven. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're not Christians. I'm not saying they're not born again. But they won't fulfill their destiny on earth because they don't walk by faith. The faith-filled life, trust me, it is difficult in many ways because it forces us to control our thoughts, discipline our bodies, speak to things. We must keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We must keep our eyes focused on His Word, not on the circumstances around us. 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we must walk by faith and not by sight. That means that what we know from God's Word, it must become more real to us than what we know by our natural senses. You know, I've never seen the Lamb's Book of Life, but I believe it's real and I believe my name is written in it. When secular humanists deny the presence of God or the reality of heaven, it is because they live by sight, they live by their natural senses and not by faith. They don't accept anything that their human senses cannot confirm. Therefore, they have no relationship with God. In the same way, many Christians deny certain parts of scriptures because they don't understand them. These people, they believe in God, but they don't believe in certain works of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in God's ability to heal. They don't believe that God really answers prayer. And they too walk by sight and not by faith. And this limits what God can do in their lives. Because what did we learn? That we read it 2 weeks ago, I think, about the children of Israel there in the wilderness. It said that they hindered what? The Holy One of Israel. They kept God from doing what God wanted to do. Why? Because of their lack of faith. You know, even the Apostle Paul, who had such a great destiny in the Lord, had to fight the fight of faith to make it to destiny's end. There were many times when Paul could have said, well, you know, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. But he didn't say that. He used his faith to overcome his circumstances and to fulfill his destiny. When the religious people of his day tried to stop him, he believed God would give him the strength to overcome them. When evil men attacked him, he believed God would deliver him. When storms wrecked his ship, he believed God would save him. When he ran out of money, he believed that God would meet his need. When he felt weak, he believed God's power was still working in him, and he went on by faith. Paul never said, well, you know, if it's God's will, it'll happen. He fought to fulfill God's will. He prayed, he believed, he stood on the word of God, and he never gave in to his circumstances and his natural feelings. Today, we often let the problems, the storms of life, decide our direction. We let our circumstances dictate our behavior. You got to fight the fight of faith. Because you've heard me say this so many times. If you let circumstances dictate how you live, I promise you, Satan will line up circumstances a mile long to keep you driven down that path. You cannot allow circumstances and the situations of life. Now, we have to react to them. We don't ignore them. Paul never ignored them. He just dealt with them. And then that's what we have to do. It's called the fight of faith. Use faith in God to remove mountains, to calm the storms, to overcome the problems. How did Paul do it? He did it. How did he overcome adversity and still fight the fight of faith? He said in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. I like to say that Paul was struck down, but he wasn't struck out. How did Paul handle his problems? How did he overcome? Verse 13 tells us, it is written. How did Jesus handle everything with Satan during the temptation? He said, what? Every time Satan would say something, how would Jesus respond? It is written. Okay, 2 Corinthians, it says, it is written. I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. It is written. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. with the same spirit of faith. Say spirit of faith.
Spirit of faith.
We also believe, and therefore we do what? Speak. Why do we speak? Because we believe. Why do we believe? Because we have that same spirit of faith. The spirit of faith caused Paul to keep his eyes on the things that are not seen. Because according to 2 Corinthians 4:18, the things which are seen, they're temporary. Like everything else concerning your destiny, faith involves choice. We choose to believe the word of God. We choose to trust in God for every situation. Or we choose to look at the circumstances and believe what they say instead. We walk by faith or we walk by sight. Paul chose to walk by faith, no matter what came up against him. And that is how he fulfilled his destiny. It happened because Paul used his faith in accordance with the plan of God. To Paul, faith was more than just a nice thought, you know, some Christian thing we do. Many people know the doctrine of faith. They have heard sermons on faith. They can even quote faith scriptures, but they don't have the spirit of faith. Paul said it was the spirit of faith that kept him in pursuit of his destiny. Let's go back up and read 2 Corinthians 4:13 again. If you've got that one against the last scripture we did, Jessica, put that up back on the screen if you would. It is written, I believed, therefore I've spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore what? Speak. Number four, faith is more than a quaint Christian belief. It is part of our being. It's part of our soul. It's part of our spirit. It's an attitude. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of life. I know people who have come from so-called faith schools, been involved in what's, you know, in so-called faith ministries, but have never had the spirit of faith. They've heard great sermons on faith, and they've even got good doctrine on faith. They've even spoken the word of faith. But it hasn't worked for them. The results of faith were not there. Their ministry, their church, their business, it never manifested the fruit of faith because they did not operate in God's plan like that. So let me explain something to you. I'm going to hit a couple of topics here that I've talked about before, but it's been a while. In the 1970s and 80s, all over the country, really all around the world, but I'm going to talk about the United States right now. All around the country popped up what was called Word of Faith churches. And I'm a Word of Faith preacher, and people don't like it because I say that, because they think back to the 70s and 80s and the bad connotation, because a lot of those preachers, you know, messed up and did bad things. But we just read in the scripture. What do we preach? The Word of Faith. Okay, so anybody who preaches the gospel is a Word of Faith preacher, whether they like it or not. All right? Because that's the only thing we have to preach is the word of faith. Okay? So, but anyway, there were these word of faith, full gospel, word of faith churches that popped up. And we started attending one. And it was a great church. And I learned an unbelievable amount. Coming from a Baptist kind of background. It's called Evangelical Methodist, but basically a Baptist background. Once I started finding out who I was in Christ, what I could do in Christ, my world changed. I changed. And when I changed, my world changed. And y'all know this, I went on a 1-year word fast. I kept up with the news, kind of, you know, as best I could keep up with the news, but I turned off the music and I just listened to, you know, this is back in cassette days. I listened to message after message after message after message for a year, pretty much on faith. I mean, that's all I listened to. I changed. The Bible says he became a different man. And that's exactly what happened to me. I became a different man. I learned that I didn't have to be slow and stupid like I was always told I was in school. I learned that I didn't have to be poor. I learned that I didn't have to just have a mediocre life. I learned that I didn't have to walk in sickness. I learned that I didn't have to be under the stress and anxiety I see all around me in the world. I learned that I could have actual joy in my heart. I learned all of these things, and it changed me. Now, there were thousands of people in the church we went to. There were thousands of people. And if you go look up all those people today, most of them, they are no different than anybody else in the world. They have no different concept of life. They have no different concept of faith. They have no different concept of how they can be and what they can be in Christ. They just accept what life has to offer. What's the difference? Your heart. How hungry are you? Because Jesus made the statement. He said, you know, him who is forgiven little will love little, and he's forgiven much will love much. Well, we've all been forgiven much, but I'm going to take that a little different take on that right now. I'm going to paraphrase it. Those who have received the word little will get little. But those who have received the word much will get much. And so I just decided, hey, there is a way out of what everybody says I'm going to be. And that way is this word of faith that we preach without compromise, and knowing who we are in Christ, and knowing that it's all about being in Christ, in him, in whom. It's all about being in Christ and nothing to do with you other than you're smart enough to tag on to Christ. But it's not about you. It's about him, and it's about him in you. And so, like, the preacher of that church, he messed up. They failed. It went away. And the church, I don't know what happened to everything, because we were already gone by then. But the point is, people talk bad. People talk bad. People talk bad. You bring his name up in circles, and they're like, you know what? I owe that man more than I could ever repay him. I owe him more than I could. It doesn't matter what he's done. I mean, I wish he would, I hope he's good, and I hope he's repented, and I hope all of those things. But as far as who he was to me, God can use a jackass to speak the word. So people get all upset about, well, I gave my money to that man, I gave my this to that, I spent time with that man, I did, well, right there, you're done. Because it is not about me. It wasn't about him. It was about the message coming out of his mouth that changed my life. So don't get the message in the man confused. I could be Eeyore up here. It doesn't matter. What'd you say, Eeyore, leg better? Is that what you said? Oh. I think she said, Eeyore looks better. Okay, well, fine. Go for it. Well, hey. Then Eeyore looks better? Okay, go for it, mister. All right, let's go back to topic, okay? The point is, it is the word of faith that we preach. It is not the man. It is not the woman. It is Jesus. Bottom line, that's what it is all about. And it's about his word and what he said, not what I say. And if I speak his word and it resonates with your spirit and you can receive from that, great. And if you can't, and there's churches you can go into, because God has a church for every person. He has a place he needs you to be in at that time for that specific thing, whatever it is. All right. So when that happens and when we get to that place, you will receive from whoever it is that's ministering. If you go into a church and they may be saying good things, but you're not receiving anything, that's not where God has for you. Now, it doesn't mean if I have a bad message and you're like, man, that was just terrible. That is not the same thing. Because, we all have off days. I just thank God the Holy Spirit doesn't have off days. Amen. So according to 2 Timothy 1:7, the spirit of faith causes us to walk by love, power, and a sound mind. Never with the spirit of fear. So many people today, they worry about their money, their safety, their reputation, their children, and their future, because they do not have a spirit of faith. God did not give them a spirit of fear. They picked that up from the world. They walk by sight rather than by faith. In Numbers 14, the Israelites believed the 10 spies who gave the bad or the evil report, And decided that they would not go in the promised land. Learn from Israel. The majority is usually wrong. 10 spies said no, 2 spies said yes. The majority is usually wrong. That they cried, the Israel cried all night long, talking about killing Moses and electing a new leader to do what? Take them right back to Egypt. And as with many Christians today, when challenges and storms of life and difficulties and difficult situations come, instead of walking by faith, they are consumed with fear. they were ready to just turn back and leave their destiny course. And we remember that our destiny will not be fulfilled just because it is God's design. We must walk by faith. But while Israel was crying and moaning and plotting against Moses, does anybody remember what Moses was doing? He was interceding for the people. He was praying for Israel. And God was merciful because God was at a point, I'll just wipe them all out and start over with you. We'll just do something else here. We don't need this. And Moses was interceding for them. And so what happens? God says, fine. Every person that's 20 years old or older, you'll wander in this desert for 40 years until you die. And why? Because of your unbelief. With two exceptions, Joshua and Caleb. They had a faith-filled report when they came back from spying out the land. They walked by faith. They didn't walk by sight. They walked by what God said. God had said, it's your land. It's yours. You can go possess it. God said that they could go into the promised land and fulfill their destiny. And they believed that while every other adult in Israel died in the desert. In Numbers 14:24, notice what the Lord says about Caleb. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I'm going to bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Now, this is Old Testament, right? Remember we just read a scripture up there, and it says, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him? Yes. What is Caleb getting now? A reward for what? Diligently seeking him. So this applied to Old Testament too. God fulfilled his will for Caleb and his family because Caleb had a different spirit. He had a spirit of faith. To fulfill our destiny, we must have a different spirit than the world has around us. We must have a spirit that causes us to see that there is a land of milk and honey and it belongs to us. We need a spirit that says, I can do it. When everyone else says there is no way. That is the spirit of faith. The spirit that took Joshua and took Caleb to their destinies. In Joshua 14:7-14, we see Caleb. Man, the dude's 85 years old now. And they're over in the promised land, and he is going to fulfill his destiny. He's still strong enough to defeat the giants. He's still strong enough to go possess a mountain he wanted when they first went over there. He didn't settle for the wilderness. He didn't settle for some small farm in the valley. He didn't even stand for waterfront property on the River Jordan. He wanted the greatest mountain in the area because he was going to build his house right up on top of that mountain. The fact that there were giants still living on that mountain, it did not deter him. The fact that he was 85 years old, he had no friends left except Joshua because they had all died. He knew his destiny, and he had a spirit of faith. So he went after his mountain. How many Christians settle for life in the wilderness of life and will settle in the valley when God has made available to them a mountaintop? They have a great destiny. But the spirit of fear and unbelief stops them from possessing it. They love the Lord, but they never see his full plan come to pass in their lives. To develop a spirit of faith, we must, according to Ephesians 4:23, renew the spirit of our mind. Now, I don't have time to teach on that today, so I'm not going to elaborate on the details of that point on renewing the spirit of your mind. But realize that as you renew the spirit of your mind, you will see a different spirit start to rise up and control you. Basically, you just got to get to where when something happens, the first thing that... Remember back, it was last year, we talked about the conscious and the subconscious for weeks. Y'all remember that? Okay. And how did I tell you is the best way to find out what's in somebody's subconscious? When they're driving a nail and they miss and they hit their thumb, you will know exactly what's in their subconscious. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. And if they're blankety-blanking and blankety-blanking and blankety-blanking, you know exactly what's inside them. And if they're like, oh, Jesus, I am healed in Jesus' name. You are not broken. If that's what's in their heart, the pain's the same, at least initially. But you'll find out what's inside them. Because whatever's inside them is going to come out. So when your mind is renewed, or you have a spirit of your mind has been renewed, what comes out of you will be different. Now I'm going to give you on the back of your bulletin. I have room in the note page on the back of your bulletin. There are seven characteristics of the spirit of faith manifested. Number one, those with the spirit of faith never just go along with the majority. You will not give in to peer pressure. Children, youth, high schoolers, junior high schoolers that are in here, you will not give in to peer pressure. You will be the peer pressure. You're a leader and not a follower. Number two, those with the spirit of faith focus on God's promises, not on the giants, not on the problems. Number three, those with the spirit of faith speak of positive things, not negative ones. Number four, those who have a spirit of faith take risks others do not understand. Number five, those who have a spirit of faith befriend people with the same spirit. You know, we witness to the world, but you can't be hanging around the world all day long. You know, you may have to work with them, but you need to have people around you who are of the same spirit. Number six, those who have the spirit of faith fight for excellence and do not accept mediocrity. And number seven, those with the spirit of faith fight to possess the mountain of destiny. As we walk our destiny course, you're going to face difficulties. Realize your destiny is worth it. Say it's worth it. Difficulties don't necessarily mean you've done something wrong or that you're off course. It's just part of living in a world that is still under the curse. We must have the character and the discipline to face the difficulties of the journey and not give up. Paul faced many problems. He faced many challenges in fulfilling his destiny. You know, those who founded what I consider to be the greatest nation that was ever founded on this earth, which is the United States of America, they fought terrible battles, but they gave birth to a nation that was free. And many have fought since then to keep us free. The price is great. If you don't think the price is great, go to Arlington Cemetery or any of our national cemeteries. The price is great. Realizing one's destiny is not cheap, but it is the most rewarding experience that you can imagine. The greater the enemy, the greater the victory. Only that which is valuable is worth fighting for. The fulfillment of your destiny is worth fighting all odds, all enemies, and all circumstances. You have too much to gain and too much to lose by just letting life happen. Take the word of God and make life happen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning or you're watching or listening, let's say, oh, that sounds great. I want to live that life. I want to live a life of purpose and a life of destiny. I want to find that. Well, the first thing you have to do to find that is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That's the only way. So if you're in here this morning, you're watching or listening, and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as Lord, but I want to make him Lord today. We're going to do that. Or if you're here, you're watching or listening, and you say, Pastor, I've said the prayer, but I've never really committed my life to, not like this, not sold out. You know, I'm one of those people that's just going through. I don't want to go through anymore. I want to live out a destiny life. I want to rededicate my heart and my life to him today. So if you're here today and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or you want to rededicate your life to him, or you're watching or listening to me, just if you're here, slip a hand up and let me see it. If you are watching or listening, just acknowledge before God. We're going to say a prayer. We can all say it together, and I would like for us to do that. So just repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you have a destiny for me, that you loved me before the foundation of the world. And Jesus, I thank you that you gave yourself for me, that you died for me. You took my punishment. You took my sins. You took every part of the curse that belongs to me on yourself. I am free. In your name, I am free. I live free. You are my Lord. and my Savior. I thank you for it. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Still keep every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Look, we're going to be wrapping this thing up. Many of you have heard all of the seven of these messages, some not. But destiny is no joke. It's a serious matter. And some of you just need to make a commitment to yourself and to the Lord, but more to you even than it is to God. That you're going to pray. That you're going to practice listening for the voice of God, for the Spirit of God. That you're going to start developing the skills needed to follow your destiny course. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. Of course you're going to heaven. You're born again, you're going to heaven. But don't leave everything on there. Be like Caleb. You may be 20, you may be 40, you may be 70. It doesn't matter. You still have mountains to climb, things to conquer. Listen to the Spirit of God. And if you just want to make a commitment really to you and to God, but mostly to yourself this morning, to say, I am going to spend just, look, I'm not going to ask you for much. 5 minutes a day more. And I don't mean blabbing on to God about what you need. I mean just asking God to speak to you and just listening. And I don't mean laying in bed doing that when you fall asleep. I mean being attentive and learning to hear the voice of God. Just give God a chance. Just give Him a little bit of time when you're not asking for something, that you've praised Him and then you just listen for His voice. If you want to make a commitment this morning to say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to, I'll give Him 5 minutes. I'll listen and I'll make a commitment to do that. I promise you, if you'll do that, it won't be 5 minutes. It'll go to 10. You'll get hooked. If you'd like to say, Pastor, I want to make that commitment this morning, just lift your hand up. Thank you, hands everywhere. Father, you see these hands in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Lord God, just to honor them for honoring you and for having a willing heart. I ask, Lord God, just as a special favor this week, to each person that raised their hand, when they stop and listen, that you would speak something so clear to them that they would just be like, wow, it works. Let's get them hooked, Lord, and let's change lives, because that's what you do. I love you and praise you. I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that message was a blessing to you. And I do have, we'll go through some announcements in just a minute. But first, I'm going to do the offering. In Genesis 26:12, this kind of goes along with the message. In Genesis 26:12, it says this: Isaac planted crops in that land in the same year, reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. You say, okay, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, the big deal is there was a famine in the land. There was a great drought in the land. There was no rain. But Isaac went out and planted crops right in the middle of the famine. It didn't make any sense. But somehow in that same year of drought, the scripture says Isaac received 100 times what he had sown. Why? Because the Lord blessed him, or the Lord was with him. Now, what's interesting in that is that when Isaac got blessed, the people around him, the Philistines and his friends, all of a sudden got jealous of him. They were fine as long as he was broke. As long as they were at the same level, it was no big deal. But when he stepped up to a new level, when he began to wear the blessings of God, the scripture says the Philistines hated Isaac. And maybe you've noticed that in your life. I have noticed it in mine many times. When you start to do better, the people around you, many times they don't celebrate, even though they're Christians. They become jealous. But you can't allow that attitude of others to hold you back and cause you to live in mediocrity. Instead, when you're blessed, brag on God. Do not, you know, when I was in corporate America, I mean, I own my business now, but when I was in corporate America, I did very well, lots of promotions, lots of awards, lots of those kinds of things. But I was always, again, this was after I had been trained, and I was always so, so careful to always give credit to the Lord. Always. Didn't matter who was saying what. I was always, it's not about me. It's all about God. And because it's all about Him. And it's all about giving Him glory for the good things in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So shake off the criticism of others and receive His blessing. Tithe, give offerings, do what I've taught you to do many times, and then wear it well. Because when you honor Him, He will continue to increase and promote you all the days of your life. But it's all about honoring Him. You know, you want to take the credit, you want to talk about how good you are, what you did, and all this, you can do that. But at that point, you are on your own. It is all about Him. You know, we give, we sow, we do what we're supposed to do. We expect God to open the windows of heaven, rebuke the devourer, and we expect Him to do the things that He says He will do. But when life starts to go your way, don't get the big head about that. You just focus it all back on Him and give Him the glory, because He's worthy. And He is our source and our supply. Amen? Father, as we give what we've decided to give this morning, I thank You that You just bless the people. I thank You, Lord God, for those that give online from the broadcast. I thank You, Father, for those that give in the room. I thank You, Lord God, that You bless them, that You just help them to see what happens when they give in faith. Not giving out of responsibility, not giving out of duty, but we give in faith. Receiving. I thank You, Lord God, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So while they're doing the offering, I do have some announcements I'd like to walk us through. Home group's going on Friday night, 7 o'clock. It's in the bulletin. There's a sign-up sheet at the back. Kind of give us an idea of who's coming. That would be great. But you're welcome to show up even if you don't sign up. Friday night, the address is in there, the phone number, and so forth. There is prayer for our service at 8:45 on Sunday mornings. So if you'd like to join us for that, that would be great. There's a men's breakfast next Saturday. When?
Next Saturday.
What's next Saturday?
Men's breakfast.
At 8 o'clock, right? 8 o'clock here at the church. If you have questions, see Lee. He'll answer any questions you've got. Then also the next night, Sunday night, there's a night of prayer. It'll begin at 6 o'clock. The building will be open at 5:45. It's a great time when we're here. You will be amazed how fast the time goes by, and it's just a great spirit and a great time of prayer. It's not like everybody comes around here and just sits around me. We have things to do. We have business to take care of. So we can pray about anything, but we have a list of stuff that we want to address every time, and it's a great time. So I would encourage you, if you can, to be here next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. If you need prayer, there's always people up here after service that they know how to pray. They know how to pray the prayer of faith. So they're up here waiting for you. Sunday school this morning, if you missed it, you missed it. But we're continuing talking about prayer, which is important. And you need to be here for Sunday school. You know, if you're sleeping in that extra 45 minutes of sleep, it's not worth doing that. It's worth being here. Now, on March 24th, we'll start really having more information on this next week. On March 24th, we're having a friend and family day. Now, when everybody's here, our church is probably about twice the size of the amount of people that are here when everybody's here. And so over about a month, everybody comes through. So that's why you have to say things for a month so that everybody hears them. And those of you that are here every week, you're like, are you ever going to quit talking about that? Yeah, once everybody comes through. That's just the way church is. You know, you just have to deal with it. But we're going to have a friend and family day. It's going to be different. But we are going to double the size of this church in 1 week. That's what we're going to do. You're going to get cards starting next week. And those cards, you're going to go to your friend and you're going to say, I'd prefer an unsafe friend that doesn't go to church. I mean, it doesn't do any good to get people from this church to that church. I mean, that's not what we're about, right? To go to your unsafe friend. This is going to be the easiest evangelism you've ever done. You're going to go up and say, hey, I know you're not big into church. I get that. But at my church on March 24th, they're having a friend day. I really don't want to be the only one that doesn't have a friend come. Because you don't know my pastor. He'll call me out. Would you please come with me on that day? I'm just asking for one day, please. And they say, yeah. I say, okay, fill this card out. Because I have to turn it in saying you're coming. They're going to be like, really? Yes, I have to. And so what will happen is we'll take those cards. We'll start praying over them. The week of friend day, they're going to get a letter from me reminding them of their commitment to you. And we are going to double this church. In fact, we'll probably have the overflow room open. We're going to double this church in one day. And if we can, and I'll preach a gentle message, just a basic message. I won't freak them out or anything. So, don't worry about that. And so it'll be a gospel message. And let's just see how many people we can get saved that day. So, you with me? All right, so starting next week, I'm going to start putting a little pressure on you because it starts. You got 4 weeks to get a card turned in, and that's a card for every person in your family. So, Caesar, how many people are in your family?
Five.
So how many cards am I expecting back from your family? Five. Minimum. 10 would be better. So, no pressure, though. Not at all. Look, I'm tired of preaching to a half-empty room. It's church. Remember when Lowell Mims was here? He said, a church this size, he said, it's just, here's what happens. You get up to a number, and then the people feel like it's kind of full, and then you lose, and you go down. And you go up, and you go down, and you go up, and you go down. He's been an evangelist for over 30 years. He's seen all kinds of churches. And so he said, let me tell you some ways to stop that. And I'm like, if you got some wisdom on how to stop that, I am all for it, brother. Because, see, here's the deal. Right back here, if you've never looked in our backyard's huge. We've got like 1.3 acres here. And we have room right behind this to build another building this size. And the plan is that it'll just be an entire sanctuary. You'll see 300. And we have room to pour. We can't build on the median out there. It's ours, but for the utility that was built, but we can pour parking lot. So we can actually pour parking lot all the way down and in the back and put another building right there. So, you know what? It's time to get on with it. It's just time to move on and do something different. So we're going to double the size of this church in one day.
Amen.
All right. I'm counting on you because you know what? I can't do it all by myself. There's only one of me. But there's a whole lot to y'all. So I need your help. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity we've had to minister the word this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that the word has gone forth. We are a people of destiny. We walk in destiny. We live in destiny. I thank you, Lord God, that we will not allow Satan or anybody else to rob us of our destiny. We will be a people of faith, a people with the spirit of faith, and we will walk in the destiny that you have for us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you into this next week to go forth and prepare our way. I thank you for opening doors, closing doors, and making sure our pathway is straight. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great, wonderful, profitable, anointed week in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. And one last thing that I didn't do. On the men's breakfast, if you're going to attend, would you please, so we know how much food to get, would you please sign up at the back table? Thank you so much, and you are dismissed.